Sir, your host on Authentic News right here on RPN Live this 21st day of March 2024. We have a huge spending package. It's like 1,000 pages in 2 days to review. Here we go. Spending package unveiled, countdown to recess begins. Tax release comes with little time to spare before Friday night deadline. As lawmakers eye exit, this is a time for fraud. You pack in all kinds of special projects, all kinds of fakery and deception. Lawmakers release a more than $1.2 trillion six-bill appropriation package Thursday morning, less than 48 hours ahead of a Friday night deadline for the second and final wrap-up measure for the fiscal year that began October 1st. Both parties were touting wins in the package well before unveiling the massive 1,012-page bill, which had already won Biden's blessing, pledged to sign it immediately. Plus, the lure of a two-week recess should help the package over the finish line, though it seemed preposterous. How could anyone even possibly have read the bloody thing in time to vote on it for passage by tomorrow night? But that's the way business is conducted in Washington these days. Meanwhile, Putin has addressed the Kremlin situation. He's planning now for two new ground armies, 14 new divisions, 16 new brigades. This appears to me now, post-election, having been reelected with an overwhelming landslide support, preparing for a NATO engagement. Even though I insist it would only take about an hour, because if it's nuclear launch, it's all over before you know it. Meanwhile, the Democrats are plotting to force a vote on Ukraine aid. Democrats in the House have launched an effort. They have promised for a while now to force a vote in the lower chamber on additional aid to Ukraine. The bid's considered a long shot to actually pass. But liberals are moving forward with it anyway. Republicans lead the chamber, after all. Leaders of the party have objected to the additional aid unless it is accomplished, accompanied by border security measures. The efforts to force a vote are being led by Representative Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, ranking member of the Rules Committee. But in order for the discharge petition to pass, he'd need to garner 218 signatures. So there you have it. They're going to try to force a vote, but it's a long shot. And without border security, why would the House be disposed to go along with it? Meanwhile, this is an interesting curiosity. Ukraine intel chief rebuked Zelensky's claim. According to Kyrylo Budanov, head of the Ukrainian Defense Intelligence Agency, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny's death was caused by natural causes, not by state-sponsored assassination. I've mentioned this before. On February 16th, Navalny, a well-known opponent of Putin, died at one of Russia's most severe prisons in northern Siberia. More than 7 days after he passed away in an isolated Arctic settlement, his mother, Ludmila Navalnaya, was granted custody of his body. Navalny was a significant figure in Russian political opposition and ran for president once. After surviving a Russian state-sponsored murder attempt in 2020, he was exposed to the nerve agent Novichok virtually exclusively used in Russian political killings, according to laboratory testing in Europe. After the fact, he asserted he deceived a Russian intel op into believing that Putin had been instructed to poison him with Novichok, which had been concealed in his underwear. Upon returned to Russia, he was apprehended and imprisoned until his untimely demise from natural causes, a blood clot, not sinister. Meanwhile, in relation to what's taking place in Palestine, do you have any doubt about it? We have a IDF general.
Custom hair care personalized to your one of
IDF general admitting war is impossible without U.S. support. We knew that. President Trump aid sentence imposes dangerous establishment lawfare will follow up. Meanwhile, a UN special rapporteur has found that Israel is committing genocide, as though we didn't know. But this is going through a certain formalized process by someone who's authoritative on the matter in relation to the United Nations. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, Francesca Albanese, has found Israel is committing genocide in Gaza following a four-month investigation. ICJ had previously ruled it possible Israel was committing genocide, but Albanese's findings are more concrete. A report is set to be presented to the United Nations Human Rights Council next week. Yes, indeed. You're maybe thinking she's only stating the blatantly obvious at this point. Saying Israel is committing genocide is like saying Dr. Harold Shipman did not uphold his Hippocratic Oath. But this is still significant because it makes Israel genocide official, puts its apologists in a difficult position. They either have to concede the reality of the situation or declare that Francesca Albanese is a secret leader of the Qassam Brigades, as it were. In other words, this is a formalizing of a finding we all recognize to be true, but carry special weight. Meanwhile, Israel rapes the truth and incites genocide with its false accusation. Coming from Kevin Barrett, Philip Weiss, Jewish ex-New York Times reporter, says, wealthy Jews dominate American media and use their dominance to protect Israel. Again, didn't we know? Case in point. And as Israel massacres the civilian population of Gaza, Jewish-dominated American media blame the victims. Lurid atrocity stories about Hamas Alaska storm operation on October 7th, none with any evident basis in truth, have convinced many ignorant Americans to support Israel's genocide. Israel is well known to seize every conceivable opportunity to propagandize. What we have here is a piece in the American Free Press. Kevin's writing about how Israel has spun the story to make it out to be Hamas being the monster and Israel the innocent victim. Of course. Of course. Meanwhile, we have a different story. The IDF PR machine works to cover up Israeli brutality, very similar in theme to Kevin Barrett.
Hey, Mikko Pellet. As Israel's genocide continues in full force in Gaza, and no less in full force all of Palestine, the torture and inhumane treatment of prisoners goes on unchecked. They just finished an interview with Mundar Amira, who is an activist, a human rights defender from Aida camp here, Bethlehem. He's well-known, well-respected, and one of the most loved people in Palestine, actually. Now, he just got out of 3 months of administrative detention, and he's been arrested many, many times over the last 40 years. And he's describing a form of torture and attempts to break the Palestinian spirit that is unprecedented. And the Red Cross is nowhere to be found. The UN and other NGOs are nowhere to be found, the ones that are responsible to watch out for prisoners in general around the world. But as all this is happening, as life for Palestinians is becoming more and more unlivable throughout all of Palestine, the reign of terror under which they live is worsening. The treatment by soldiers whether it's mass murder of civilians in the Gaza Strip or other places throughout Palestine, the Israeli military PR machine is hard at work to portray the executioners, those who are pulling the trigger, those who are beating, those who are torturing, those who are bombing, as lighthearted, good-looking, friendly, heroic, and that all this is actually coming from a deep desire for just love and peace and that sort of thing. It's very, very well done. And so today I want to talk about that. And I've been following.
I think we got the idea. Meanwhile, inside the anti-Syria lobby, Capitol Hill push for more starvation sanction. This is disturbing from the gray zone. A week from the 13th anniversary of the U.S. bank Syrian dirty war, the American Coalition for Syria held its annual day of advocacy in Washington, D.C. I, Kemet Aboukader, went undercover into meeting with Senate policy advisors and witnessed the lobby's cynical campaign to starve Syria into submission. Why does that sound familiar? On the morning of March 7th, as the U.S. Capitol teamed with lobbyists securing earmarks ahead of Appropriation Week and activists decrying the Gaza genocide, one special interest group on the Hill stood up. In the corridors of the Rayburn Building, a group of roughly 50 prepared for a busy day of advocating for a sanction to be leveled against their homeland. They were the anti-Syria lobby, and I had infiltrated their influence campaign. Throughout the day, I watched as this group pushed U.S. officials to accept their policy of starvation sanctions while cynically ignoring the famished Palestinians in Gaza. Very bad. Very troubling. Meanwhile, responsible statescraft. Why the Nigerian junta wants to kick U.S. troops out? Is it going to become a pattern of practice? Commonplace, get rid of the Americans. We have sold out. We are nothing but Israeli stooges. We are supporting genocide in the absence of which, without American support, it could not happen. Indeed, the story there is was missed here on Rumble. Yes. IDF general admits war impossible, impossible without U.S. support. Back to the Nigerian junta. An American government delegation recently traveled to Niger to, according to the State Department, continue ongoing discussions since August with leaders of the National Council for Safeguarding the Homeland regarding Niger's return to a democratic path in the future of our security and development partnership. The CNSP is a junta that took power in Niger in July 2023 in a coup, extending a trend of military takeovers in the Sahel. For the U.S., the Nigerian coup was the most consequential, given longstanding and intensive security cooperation, including the presence of a major U.S. drone base in the northern city of Agadez. The visit went poorly. Yes. Scott Bennett, former Army Intel and Psy officer, said to me this is very consequential because of the past relationship between Niger and the U.S. military. Meanwhile, I received a piece about the murder of a native Canadian Cree Indians. It's a video about it that I encourage those to watch. I can give it a try, see if we can pick up a bit of it. This appears to have been a dictate.
This is Kevin Anna, Eagle Strong Voice, and I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Republic News Network. It's March 8th, 2024. Well, Canada is well known for its murder of Indigenous people within its borders in order to make money for some corporation. And, of course, we've got a long history of this, the so-called Indian residential schools, the death camps that killed off over 60,000 children, resulted in no punishment at all for the churches and government responsible. So Canada and Christian Canada is an old hand at this kind of thing. But we don't have to look in the past for that. It happened again just this last year in a place called Melfort, Saskatchewan. and these are the people who suffered for it, 10 Cree people killed to get diamonds for a company called Rio Tinto, linked with the British Crown. From left to right at the top, Thomas Burns, Carol Burns, Gregory Burns, Lydia Gloria Burns, and Bonnie Goodvoice Burns. Bottom left to right, Lana Head, Christian Head, Robert Sanderson, Wesley Peterson, and Earl Burns Sr.
Reporting on the murdering of Native Indians in order to secure diamonds. That's a nice story. That's good for bedtime reading for your kids. Meanwhile, oversight hearing. Bobulinski blasts serial liar and fabulous Joe Biden, accuses Hunter and Joe, Jim, of perjury. This is from American Greatness. Let's take a look. Hunter Biden's former business associate, Tony Bobulinski, I first encountered him during the very first debate, which was being followed by Tucker, who had Tony Bobulinski seated beside him, where Tony virtually jumped out of his seat when Joe Biden, during the debate, was claiming he had nothing to do with his son Hunter's business associates, which he was declaring to be false, a deception, a lie at the very time. Went scorched earth on Joe Biden, his son Hunter, and brother Jim, the regime media, and House Democrats during the Republican House-led Oversight Committee's impeachment hearing on Capitol Hill Wednesday, yesterday. In his brutally frank opening statement, Bobulinski also accused Hunter and Jim of telling flat-out lies when they were interviewed by the committee last month. Entered Chairman James Comer of Kentucky to hold them accountable for their perjury. If there is no evidence of corruption, if Joe's conduct and conduct of his family were fully legal and proper, then why are they so dishonest about it, Bobulinski asked. Not just slight misrepresentation of fact, but deep untruths about the entire corrupt enterprise. Bobulinski, a businessman and U.S. Navy veteran, began his opening statement by describing the two competing narratives surrounding the Biden impeachment inquiry. A false one, being pushed by Joe Biden, a serial liar and fabulous, now under this impeachment investigation for public corruption. His brother, Jim Biden, a 75-year-old man who cannot keep his lies straight, including under oath. And his son, Hunter Biden, a chronic drug addict facing two indictments with 12 counts. You also have before you the truth, confirmed by multiple Biden family business partners over many years and backed up by mountains of irrefutable evidence, including text messages, emails, documents, and recording. He's got it right. The Biden crime family has been operating under cover of the American government for quite some time now. It would be appropriate to knock it off, to get things straight, to indict them, to bring some semblance of justice instead of leaving the world with the impression the American government has been in turned into a variation on the mafia. Here AOC has a meltdown after Hunter Biden's ex-associate details Joe's crimes. Earlier today, that would have been yesterday, ex-Hunter Biden associate, Navy veteran Tony Bobulinski, testified at a House oversight hearing regarding the impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden. He held his own as Democrats attacked and bombarded him with questions about his business relation with the Biden crime family. During the hearing, Bobulinski gave his opinion of Joe Biden as a serial liar and fabulous now under this independent impeachment investigation for public corruption, asserting Hunter had committed egregious perjury at last month congressional. Here's a clip from that moment.
Biden gave his transcribed interview on February 28th and lied throughout his testimony. Here's just one egregious example of Hunter's perjury. He lied to the committee on important details concerning his money demands and threats to CFC in text messages on July 30th and 31st, 2017. He leveraged his father's presence next to him in that infamous text to strong.
We'll be right back. Waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Report about Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana telling the truth about the border that infuriated Biden. Biden is fake. Who knows who the hell he is? The murder of a 22-year-old nursing student, Lakin Riley, on the University of Georgia campus by an illegal alien was a tragedy that could have been prevented. Jose Ibarra, the illegal from Venezuela gang member, should never have been in the country in the first place and should have been released after committing crimes. Ibarra was released after illegally crossing the border near El Paso under a parole authority that Biden has used as a loophole to let millions of illegals into the country and let them acting in a manner injurious and letting them work. He was later arrested in New York City for a driver's license violation, reckless endangerment of a child, acting in a manner injurious to a child. Because New York is a sanctuary city. Remember the nutty idea of sanctuary cities? They didn't place a retainer on him so U.S. Immigration and Customs could take custody and he was released. Abera made his way to Athens, Georgia, arrested for shoplifting at Walmart, released before he was suspected of having murdered Riley. Senator John Kennedy and Senator Katie Britt are introducing the Lake and Riley Act after it passed the House. The bill would require that ICE detain illegals who are arrested for theft, burglary, larceny, or shoplifting offenses. It would allow state attorneys general to bring lawsuit against federal officials who don't enforce immigration law or violate the Lake and Riley Act. There's no reason that Lake and Riley's accused murderer was allowed to walk free after officials arrested him for other crimes, Kennedy said. Biden and Mayorkas may be determined to let dangerous lawbreakers come here illegally and roam our communities, but Congress isn't. The Lake and Riley Act would get criminal aliens out of our country before they further victimize innocent Americans. It's nice to see there's at least one member of the United States Senate who wants to do something to protect the American people. I applaud him. Meanwhile, also on Morning Greatness, Obama and Pelosi to rally for Biden's reelection. Believe me, this means they are in fear. They think Biden's going to get waxed. And the reason is Biden is going to get waxed. Here's a question now from Zero Hedge. What if the president ignores the Supreme Court? Who or what enforces the edicts of the court? Mostly, it's the executive power of the state. But, however, if they don't want to do that because they disagree with the court at that point, we've got a problem. Let's consider. Next week, the Supreme Court hears arguments in Murphy versus Missouri over a major free speech issue. The question is whether the federal government can directly or indirectly impose itself on social media companies to game their policies in a particular way according to policy priorities of the government itself. Sounds outrageous, doesn't it? It sounds outrageous because it is outrageous. Friends, social media is all about speech. For government to game the system in its favor is a major intervention in rights that are supposed to be guaranteed by the government. This principle has been routinely tested from the early years of the nation. The Sedition Act of 1798, for example, targeted newspaper editors who criticized the president. There was outrage about it, which swept Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, into office, who repealed the cursed thing. That was hardly the end. Censorship was tried again in 1835, 1861, 1918, 1940, 1952, on and on. Each time, the First Amendment eventually prevailed. And yet, underlying this long experience is always a push by government to control the channels of distribution of information. Now that every citizen is in a position to be a distributor of information to a broad audience via new technologies, we have government exercising its penchant to want to control. Yes, indeed. If we could only uphold the Constitution. Meanwhile, here's a report from UN's review. John Grisham finds justice not in the system, but in the system defeat. Paul Craig Roberts. A while back, I wrote about a British female authors of mystery novels during the 20s and 40s, such as Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Nigel Marsh, and Elspeth Huxley, the last two being colonial British. I noticed at the time that even in the case of murder in the novels, those decades as portrayed were highly civilized in Europe. Readers have let me know they also have found relief from our woeful times in the civilized recent past described by those mystery novels.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Zero Hedge has republished a piece from the Epoch Times, authored by Roger Simon. RFK Jr. destroys his candidacy with VP pick. I'm sorry to say, I think there's something to this. I interviewed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for Epoch TV's Roller Coaster series, also attended one of his birthday parties. In both instances, I like the man. Found him to be intelligent and personable, also unafraid to take stands against the uber-conformist Democrat Party, notably on health care and to some degree on the dangers of the CIA. Although I have been an unabashed Trump supporter since he came down the escalator and continued to be, I would not have been disappointed, even pleased, had former President Trump chosen Mr. Kennedy as his vice presidential candidate. Unlikely as it may have been, it could have helped bring our fractured country together. No longer. if reports are true, and in that regard, the website name, KennedyShanahan.com, was reportedly registered by one of his campaign operatives on March 13th. Mr. Kennedy has chosen attorney Nicole Shanahan as his running mate. I find this bizarre, to say the least, not to mention disappointing. Whatever his intentions, such a ticket would drive this country even further apart because Ms. Shanahan is a self-described progressive. But that's only the tip of a disturbing iceberg. Let's start with this. Mr. Kennedy, of all people, should know that the basic requirement for a vice presidential candidate now more than ever is that person be qualified to assume the presidency at a moment's notice. We've had disasters in that regard, dodging several bullets, including Vice President Spiro Agnew, Mike Pence, for now, holdings one breath, Kamala Harris. Mr. Trump has made clear qualification for the presidency is now his first consideration, as it should be. Well, what do we know about Ms. Shanahan? Not much, except she's a philanthropist to largely progressive causes and that she is very rich. She reportedly helped pay for Mr. Kennedy's Super Bowl ad to the tune of $4 million via Super PAC. The ad got mixed reviews, ended up with the candidate apologizing to his family. How rich Ms. Shanahan really is unclear, but the bulk of her money comes from her divorce from Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google and, depending on the source, the ninth richest man on planet Earth. RFK Jr.'s campaign had been loving and needed a boost. He looked to the financial. It's hard to blame him because that's a putrid state of American politics today. But if you're trying to run an honest broker campaign against corrupt traditional parties, it's not the best approach. It's actually a turnoff. This is rather sad because of the optimism and excitement he initially engenders. It was said that much of JFK Jr.'s appeal was with a more libertarian right, not the increasingly leftist Democrats. I thought that was accurate. I would imagine that, unfortunately, those days are over if the nomination of the progressive Ms. Shanahan is real. To whom will RFK Jr. appeal now? Of course, the candidate's not confirming this nomination until March 26th. We shall see. But I think that critique is exactly right. Here's a stand being taken by Trump, according to Newsmax. He signals support for a 15-week national abortion ban. I think this is, all this abortion stuff is very bad. We should have just stuck with Roe v. Wade. Former President Trump said he was leaning toward a 15-week national ban on abortion, but supports exceptions for rape, incest, and saving the life of the mother because you have to win elections. Abortion promises to be a galvanizing issue for some voters in a 2024 election, which Trump will try to unseat Democrat Joe Biden. A call for a 15-week national ban is likely to displease both sides, with conservative groups unhappy with what they view as an overly permissive time limit, and abortion right activists opposing the idea of any kind of national ban. Well, there it is, up in the air. When Roe v. Wade was turned over, rejected, nullified, turned over to the states, I knew we were in for it regarding abortion rights, and we certainly are. Meanwhile, Democrats sabotage vets. Bergman and Mace fight back with the PLUS Act. Can you believe the audacity of those Capitol Hill Democrats trying to mess with our brave veteran benefits? It's like they want to make life harder for those who risked everything for our country. Thankfully, we have some real American heroes, like Representative Jack Bergman and Representative Nancy Mace, stepping up to the plate to protect and expand the Trump-era VA reforms. Donald Trump did some stellar work his first term by revamping the Veteran Affairs Department. The man knew how to get things done, especially when it came to improving health care for our beloved veterans. Thanks to him, veterans could finally seek treatment outside the VA system if they needed to, without jumping through hoops or waiting for ages. With the introduction of the Plus for Veterans Act by Bergen and Mace, we're looking at even more progress. The bill is like a shining beacon of hope for veterans who rely on private services and navigate the bureaucratic nightmare of disability claims. It's a lifeline for those who just want to get the benefits they've earned without having to fight tooth and nail. Leave it to the Democrats to try and throw a wrench into the works with their Guard VA Benefits Act. It's like they're allergic to anything that might actually help veterans. Why on earth would they want to ban private services that assist disabled veterans with their claims? Trump's got the better of that one by far. Meanwhile, in a democracy swindle, what's going on? Here we have something on Twitter.
Energy gave him a seat on the board.
When you're the president's son and you've got unlimited access combined with some credentials from a prior campaign, in Washington, D.C., people tend to respect that. I mean, access is power. And I can find my dad and talk to him any time of the day.
Yes, it helps to be the president's son, especially when you're being investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Harkin Energy gave him a seat on their board.
When you're the president's son and you've got unlimited access combined with some credentials from a prior campaign.
So they got W talking about how he benefited by being a president's son. Meanwhile, a pro-Trump lawyer has been arrested by U.S. Marshals in Washington, D.C. What in the world is going on here? Pro-Trump lawyer Stephanie Lambert, who has not backed down from talking about election fraud, was arrested Monday afternoon in Washington, D.C. with a bench warrant sent out for Lambert after she refused to be fingerprinted after being charged with four felonies by special prosecutor D.J. Hilson in Michigan. One felony included undue possession of a voting machine. No doubt she's trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Due to the warrant in Michigan, Lambert was arrested by U.S. Marshals and charged in D.C. for being a fugitive from justice. Arrest came directly after attending a court hearing regarding leaked emails of private communications among Dominion voting machines employees. I'll bet they had a lot of very informative content about how they were cheating like mad. Meanwhile, Political Insider, head of Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport, shot in the head. In a tweet, Right Angle News Network just in. The top executive at Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport in Arkansas, can you believe, Brian Malinowski, was shot in the head as federal agent tried to serve a search warrant to him early this morning. Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along. Daily Mail reported that Malinowski, 53, was injured at his West Little Rock home at around 6 a.m. after he opened fire on agents with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, who were attempting to serve a warrant when someone inside the house began shooting at them. Wow. The ATF, state police, and federal prosecutors all refused to reveal what the agent were looking for because the investigation is still ongoing. They returned fire and ultimately injured Malinowski, was treated at the scene before being taken to a local hospital. We'll have to wait and see what comes of that. Here's one I like. Texas withdraws $8.5 billion from BlackRock over ESG goals. The state of Texas is withdrawing $8.5 billion in funding from the far-left investment firm BlackRock, which has been leading global efforts to force environmental, social, and governance policies on other corporations. As reported by the Daily Caller, the decision was announced on Tuesday by the Texas Permanent School Fund, which sent a letter declaring that BlackRock would no longer serve as manager of the Navarro One Fund. The move marks the single largest divestment from Little Rock, since the backlash first began several years earlier. The PSF's relationship with BlackRock was not in compliance with Texas Government Code Section 809, commonly known as Senate Bill 13, which prohibits state investment in companies like BlackRock that boycott energy companies, said Aaron Kinsley, chairman of the Texas State Board of Education, in a statement. More divestment, the better. Like that. Meanwhile, after a liberal horse tries to doom Trump, he accidentally compares him to a top American icon. Most Americans agree mainstream media is run by liberals these days. Most hosts don't even try to hide their allegiance to the Democratic Party. They practically campaign for liberal candidates while they report the news. On top of that, many rant and rave against Republicans, especially Donald Trump. One of the most triggered liberal figures is Keith Olbermann. I can't believe I used to think this guy was completely brilliant. He turns out to be a whack job. The former MSNBC host now produces his own podcast, but he is no less enraged by Donald Trump. He recently reacted to something Trump said during a rally. While the liberals seemed to wish for Trump's death, he ended up comparing him to a legendary leader from the post-millennial. Over the weekend, Keith Olbermann sat on a post on Twitter appearing to express hope that Donald Trump would be assassinated a la Abraham Lincoln. In response to a post from the Biden-Harris headquarters reading, Trump says he's been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated, Olbermann wrote. There's always the hope. Following backlash and the eventual removal of his post, Olbermann suggested words had been misconstrued, but noted that he wished Trump an unpleasant death. What a scumbag. I mean, that's just so outrageous. Meanwhile, Joe Rogan just wiped out Joe Biden, press secretary, with this truth bomb. Joe Rogan's grown from a stand-up comedian and UFC commentator to being one of the most influential voices in America today. While he began as an average California liberal-leaning person, he's morphed into being the number one rated broadcaster and keeps moving more and more right each day. Thanks in part to the Biden admin, and he absolutely roasted Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, with this epic truth bomb. A good White House press secretary can be increasingly beneficial to an admin in achieving its goals. However, a bad press secretary can make the admin look incompetent at every turn. Not that Biden and Harris need a lot of help in that regard. Here we have Kareem speaking. Nope, lost. Enter Joe Biden's press secretary Green and her infectious catchphrase. I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
Rogan missed no words in sharing how he truly feels about Jean-Pierre. He, President Joe Biden, so frail that he's transparent to the point where the White House press secretary actually tweeted him as him from her account, Rogan said. I love it when that happens because thank you. I was wondering. Now I know. I kind of had a feeling it was you. In other words, the press secretary is doing tweets and signing them with Biden's name. Meanwhile, Ron Paul, a wise man, warns of a black swan event in the latest Tucker Carlson interview. Ron Paul told Tucker, I believe we're reaching the point where something sudden is going to happen. I believe the theory of the black swan. It's going to pop up and be uncontrollable. People ask what they can do. I think the most important thing is to understand what's going on. Watch the moment here with Tucker.
I think we're reaching this point where some sudden thing is going to happen. I believe in that theory of the black swan.
Yes.
It's going to pop up, and it's not going to be controllable. But people, you ask, what can they do? I think the most important thing is understand what's going on, is education. That's why I happen to have a homeschooling program, and I try to teach this stuff early, because you can't change it. You can't go in and say, okay, you want $50 an hour? We can't do that, but we'll have a compromise.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When it comes to wacko development, here's a good one. Edible tackles pain inequity. UK government declares medical devices racist. Not to be outdone by the social justice virtue signaling of rival firms Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, Pfizer, which owns the Advil brand, is now at war on behalf of blacks with something called pain inequity via Advil. The Advil Pain Equity Project is a long-term commitment to champion equitable and accessible pain relief, created by Advil and launched in partnership with Morehouse School of Medicine and BLKHLTH. The Advil Pain Equity Project first campaign, Believe My Pain, is focused on illuminating the issue of pain inequity in black communities. If anyone has ever attended diverse public school, you know, well, white supremacists have been denying blacks the right to complain about pain and basically everything else for 400 years now. Advil, in partnership with totally unbiased and neutral historical black college, Morehouse School of Medicine, has the remedy. Believe My Pain is tasked to explore perceptions of inequities in pain diagnosis and treatment among black Americans. Given the body of research demonstrating that black communities have historically experienced pain inequity at higher levels during healthcare treatment, this is mind-numbing, unbelievable. Now, here's something else I wouldn't normally mention, but Hollywood has gone so political. Every now and then we see some cracks in the fissure. William Baldwin threatens to expose kinky and unprofessional tales of Sharon Stone. You know, bet she's got some good ones. After she made accusations about him and Rosemary's Baby producer Robert Evans. Wow. You want to know what's going on in Hollywood today? Alec isn't the only Baldwin making the news. His brother Billy, star of Backdraft, recently began making headlines by proxy as actress Sharon Stone pulled him into a discussion of a salacious nature that also involved a prolific producer at Paramount Pictures, Robert Evans. Going back to her 2021 memoir, The Act of Living Twice, Stone was making accusation about an unnamed at the time actor, and a producer told her, she claimed, to sleep with her co-star to beef up their chemistry. Right back, taking your calls.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.